The founding fathers of this nation said they did not want private control of a central bank because to them, such a bank would be the detriment of this democracy. Thomas Jefferson saw a privately owned central bank as worse than an opposing army. Thomas Jefferson wanted to keep America free from those things that led to the destruction of many nations and governments in Europe. And so a privately owned central bank was unthinkable to the founding fathers of this nation, and therefore it was written in the Constitution that only Congress should have the right to print the money and the instruments of credit. On page 47 of this same book, They Dare Call It Conspiracy, by Gary Allen and Mr. Abraham, it reads, listen, quote, since the keystone of the international banking empire has been government bonds, it has been in the interest of these international bankers to encourage government debt. The higher the debt, the more the interest. And nothing drives governments into debt like a war. And it has not been an uncommon practice among international bankers to finance both sides of the bloodiest military conflicts. For example, during the Civil War, the American North was financed by Rothschild through their American agent, August Belmont. And the American South was financed through the Erlangers, who were Rothschild's relatives. But while wars and revolutions have been used by international bankers in gaining or increasing control over governments, the key to such control has always been control of money. You can control a government if you have that government in your debt. A creditor is in a position to demand the privileges of monopoly from the sovereign. Oh man, this is heavy stuff. Governments that are seeking money have granted monopolies in state banking, natural resources, oil concessions, and transportation to the bankers. However, the monopoly which the international financiers most covet is to gain control over a nation's money. Eventually, these international bankers actually owned, as private corporations, the central bank of various European nations. The Bank of England, the Bank of France, the Bank of Germany were not owned by their respective governments, as almost everyone imagined. They were privately owned monopolies granted by the head of state, usually in return for loans. Under this system, observed Reginald McKenna, president of the Midlands Bank of England, he said, quote, those that create and issue the money and credit direct the policies of government and hold in their hands the destiny of the people. Now, most of you think, most Americans think, that the Federal Reserve banking system is owned by the federal government. as the representatives of the American people. But the Federal Reserve Bank is a privately owned banking institution. On page 59 of this same book, it reads, "The Federal Reserve controls our money supply and interest rates and thereby manipulates the entire economy, creating inflation or deflation, recession or boom, sending the stock market up or down at whim. The Federal Reserve is so powerful that the former congressman, Wright Patman, who was the former chairman of the House Banking Committee, said, in the United States, we have, in effect, two governments. We have the duly constituted government. Then we have an independent, uncontrolled, uncoordinated government in the Federal Reserve System operating the money powers which are reserved to Congress by the Constitution. Neither presidents, nor congressmen, nor secretaries of the Treasury direct the Federal Reserve. In the matters of money, the Federal Reserve directs them."